He said the weather would be real good.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I'm going to get this a little closer to you. My voice carries.
Okay.
Yours a little different. So I've got kind of two types of questions for you today.
Okay.
Main ones are going to be family ones, because
okay.
I've discovered stuff about the family, and I like there's more at T's than you can shake a stick at, and so I need to figure out how they're related,
okay.
or they're not, or that kind of
okay.
thing. And then some other ones, thinking about your and your brother's relationship to Portland as you were growing up,
okay.
and as you were in business.
Okay.
Several people have talked about... and Vic brought it up the first time I interviewed him, Vic's relationship with the kind of standard Portland business community was often fraught. They wanted him, when he became governor, they expected him to do things, and he said,
no.
You know, I'm sorry, you have to go through what everybody else has to go through.
Right, yeah.
And so several people who've worked with him in the governor's office, but also people who knew him as a business person, have talked about the idea that it may have been because he was Syrian.
No.
It may have been one that the hypothesis I think might make more sense is the central Portland business community was a bunch of WASPs. And so if you were Jewish
yeah.
or Syrian
yeah.
or Catholic,
yeah.
then you weren't part of that
okay.
kind of central group. And
yeah.
so I want you to think about those kinds
no.
of perceptions at all.
Okay. Because I don't know, because my dad was particularly was very unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he treated everybody the same.
Yeah.
And so they never even entered our thoughts. In fact, we went to school with Japanese students, African American students, and stuff like that. And
yeah.
We never bothered us at all.
Mm-hmm.
We figured them as our equals.
Yeah.
And so we were never concerned about it, but in fact, there was a lot of Italians too in our,
mm-hmm.
our neighborhood
mm-hmm.
too. But still, I mean, some people have opinion and bias. But my brothers, I never heard my brother ever talk about race or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were running Atiyah Brothers, did you encounter any issues along those lines?
No.
Nothing.
No, we treated everybody as a customer.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
We never try to discriminate.
Yeah.
Or were concerned about certain types of people. It never bothered us.
Yeah.
No.
And did you when you were in business, did you have any issues? For instance, if you wanted to join the Arlington Club or,
okay.
you know, any of those kinds of things, was that ever an issue?
No, because Vic belonged to the Arlington Club.
But only after he left the governorship.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then he was in the university club, and I was in the university club.
Okay.
And then we were in Portland Golf Club.
Yeah.
And Vic wanted to join Waverly, but then he figured that he was more inclined with his upbringing and stuff, too, he was more comfortable with the Portland Golf Club.
Uh-huh,
he
uh-huh.
never joined that, but he actually joined the Oregon Country Club.
Yeah.
He was there right when they started. They
yeah.
invited him to join, and so he joined that.
Yeah.
So, but there was never, we the word prejudice never entered our mind
okay.
at all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So, let's get to family stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So, when World War II started, at some point you guys all went down, and Vic had a cast on. And the cast was because he had a cyst that had been removed.
Yeah.
So there's some dispute. Was the cyst from a broken leg when he was in football,
yeah.
like a freshman?
Yeah.
Or had he broken his leg when he was a little kid roller skating?
No, he had an injury playing football.
It was the football injury.
And
okay.
He was really upset because they wouldn't take him in the service.
Yeah, yeah.
he wanted to go in the thing with us right as soon as he could.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't take him.
Yeah.
They called it osteoporosis or something. I don't know what kind of, they had a name for it.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was in his foot.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But he was, that's what was, but they fell with a football injury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So definitely football. That's good. Your father, in the picture book that you gave me, it says that during putting the book together, they found out your father had been married before he married your mother. I've traced it back. He's in the 1910 census, when he's 27 years old, is listed as a widower.
Yeah.
Do you know any details about that at all?
No, not like that. In fact, we just learned by when we started looking up the history that he was married previously, but I don't think it was a long marriage, and she died.
Yeah. I mean, when he's listed as a widower at age 27, it can't have been a long marriage.
Yeah. So I think that was before he came to this country.
Okay.
No, he was
about 17.
No.
Yeah.
Well.
It might have been he'd gone back and married, but.
Well, no, because. Because he married my mother in 21. Not 21.
In 20.
20.
Yeah.
My mother in 20.
On her birthday, I discovered.
And he married her in 20, so it was sometime before. So I think it was when he was over in Syria. I don't know if he was going to bring her here, but I don't know any
of the details at all. Okay.
No.
Okay. It's just one of those things.
It never came up.
Yeah.
Our lives.
Yeah.
Because we always never realized it until we realized the later when we realized that he had a previous marriage and she died.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I discovered it because it's listed on the census.
Yeah.
And then I haven't found the actual documents of when he arrived in the United States, because that might say, if it says that he's single then, that it means he was married sometime in the, like, 1900 to 1910, sometime in there, but.
It was before 1920, because Dad was here, and then Dad went back to Syria, back to Lebanon, and found Mother, Mary's mother.
Yeah.
So as to the exact date he first came, but we had a record and of him coming in at Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My uncle particularly, and I think that Dad did too, came in through Ellis Island.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
We could probably find the date somewhere.
Well, I've got a lot of good stuff as I'm looking around too.
Yeah. Okay.
What I did find is so your parents are married December 30th, 1920, which is good because you guys are born in October.
Yeah.
So that works.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm the same way. My parents were married in February. Of 1958, and I was born December 30th, the same year, but it works. but I do have the record of, because they went and traveled.
Yeah.
And I do have the record of them arriving in the United States on the 1st of May.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
Because we have, I think in that book, family book, they just recorded in there.
Yeah. It's got their wedding and things like that. Which is really, really, really nice stuff. So other Atiyahs, when I'm looking at Portland census records in the 1920s and 30s, there are other Atiyahs that come up, especially one named Kahilil, K-A-H-I-L-I-L.
Oh, Khalil.
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 And his wife is Anis. And the reason I ask is because then Richard's...
Oh, Khalil, Anisi.
Anisi, okay.
Anisi.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, she worked for us in a cleaning plant for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, Anisi did.
And are they related somehow?
Yeah, they were cousins.
Okay, they're cousins.
They were cousins.
Okay.
And I don't know where the relationship came in I think it came in through Anithi.
Okay.
Because I think she was the one that related to it.
Uh-huh.
No, his name was Atiyah too.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it was a come through him. It must have come through him then.
Yeah. Well, there's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you happen to know their children at all?
Oh yeah, they have three daughters.
Okay, so I've got a niece, Linda, Selena. Does that sound right, or is it?
No, he had.
Brady, Isabella.
No, they had three daughters and a son.
Uh huh.
And the son's name was Anise, and he changed it to Ernie.
Okay.
And then he lives right now. He lives down in he's retired. He's down in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And the other daughter, Mary.
Okay.
Mary lived in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
in the Milwaukee area,
mm-hmm.
and she died about a year ago.
Okay.
And the other daughter was, they had two other daughters. We were more closer with Mary.
Uh-huh.
But they had three daughters. I'm trying to remember their names.
I have Linda and Selena from a census record, but...
The name is Selena, once they changed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had three daughters.
I see a lot of Aziz is turning into
yeah.
other things and
yeah.
things like that. So
I'm trying to think of the names of the other daughters.
Yeah.
Too. But I remember America. I have because we hear from them every year, Christmas time. Here I can get it for you real quick.
Sure.
Let me get it for you.
Absolutely.
Because okay. Daughter, she lives in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I think the other one lives in, or lived, I hadn't much contact with her, lived in Vancouver, Washington, I think.
Okay, pretty close.
Yeah, but yeah. Let me see here. Let's see if I can find it here. I gotta find the last names here. Yeah, for Fred won Las Vegas. His wife's name is Juanita.
Okay.
And then, look at my wife's Christmas list. I gotta get it real quick.
Well, it's okay. If it comes to you, you can send me an email or.
I think her name was Linda. I'm
uh-huh.
not sure.
Uh huh.
You have Linda for one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I think her name was Linda. Okay. And the third one, too. We don't correspond with her very much,
mm-hmm.
but I think her name is Linda, the one who lives in Atlanta with the oldest.
Okay.
And then Mary, the one that died about a year ago, the one who lived in Milwaukee, was the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a niece, and then there was another daughter. But,
mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I can put those together.
Okay.
So another family one. who is Sammy Call?
Well, Sammy Call...
he's listed as cousin, half-brother. Yeah. He's just kind of all over the place.
Well, there was a Sam Call
uh-huh.
that had an Orient Rock business.
Okay.
And he lived in the Dunthorpe area.
Okay.
And he was a half-brother of Dad.
Okay.
And he was a half-brother of Dad. And but he was a competitor of ours in the rug business.
Yeah.
But the other Sammy Call, the one with a good friend of Vic's.
That's the one who went with him to the Middle East and was an interpreter.
Yeah, but he's related but indirectly. But I don't know that
mm-hmm.
exactly what the connection was with him. But he kind of, I'd say, a distant relative.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a first cousin or anything like that.
Okay.
Because he was on the Call side.
Yeah.
Too. But Sam Call, the one that was his dad's half brother, he had three children.
Uh-huh.
And there was one was Muriel Call, the daughter. And then you have Ed Call, which is the youngest, and the oldest one was he lived on the coast for a long time. He lived here in Portland. Ted Call.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Call.
Mm-hmm.
But they were competitors. They were we used to visit them. We had a very close relationship
mm-hmm.
with them, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's good. So there's two Sam Calls.
Yeah.
Good.
So the Sam yeah. Call, the half-brother, is not the Sam Call.
Right.
That, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to put that together, and it's like he would have been pretty old at that point.
Yeah, no.
But who knows?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see here. Your mother's birthday is December 30th?
My mother?
Uh-huh.
No, my mother's birthday is May. Mother's birthday is in May.
Okay.
I should know.
Yeah.
I can get it for you.
No, that's okay. The source, because often they put... They don't get birthdays right.
Okay.
And so it may have been that they base it on her marriage certificate.
Okay.
Because her marriage was 30.
No, it's
30.
Her birthday is in May.
Okay. Good. So, college.
Yeah, okay.
You guys start in 1941.
Uh-huh.
You go 41, the 42.
Uh-huh.
Do you complete 42, 43?
No, we just completed 40. No, 40. Yeah, we left in 43.
Okay.
Yeah, we left the end of our sophomore year.
Sophomore year. Okay, so you guys go into the military.
Yeah.
Now, in 43, in the fall, does Vic go back to school?
No, he didn't go back to school.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes, he did. He went back to school for a while, but then when Dad died...
Right, which is 44.
44, then Vic dropped out. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure Vic went back to school. And,
okay. The reason I'm asking is it's built up, there's a lot of news stories that talk about that Vic had only gone to 2 years of college.
Yeah.
And I'm counting three.
No, he never completed the third year.
No, he never completed the third year?
No, because when Dad died, he dropped out.
Okay.
I mean, he joined the business.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was in school.
But straight up until then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did your dad get ill? Was it a long thing, or did...
Yeah, it was a long deal. Mm-hmm. Number of years. We were still in high school.
Uh-huh.
And he had heart trouble.
Yeah.
And... mother took him back to the Mayo Clinic.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, you had circulation problems, you know,
yeah.
in your feet. And one thing I remember too, we had two tubs.
Uh-huh.
For him to soak his feet in. One was cold water, and one was hot water.
Oh my.
And you could do that to get the circulation going.
Yeah.
But he kind of became inactive when he started having heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he started a number of years before he died in his heart condition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. This is a hard question to ask.
Okay.
And so I'll just leave it at that. It starts out with a cool thing. I've read the Fiji circular letters that you guys sent in World War II. They're great.
Uh-huh.
And for the book, they're really good because Vic took over running them after the first one. He ran the next however many, three or four more that there were. And one of the most personal parts of it is he's writing the circular letter cover after you and Richard have been taken prisoner,
uh-huh.
but Vic and nobody has any idea what's happened to you.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, you're just gone.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a wonderful piece of writing, very uh-huh. personal. But in the Fiji letter, after 1944, it suggests that Vic and Dolores lost a child.
Yeah.
Okay.
They lost their first one.
Uh-huh.
And, the Dolores had, what they call it, the blood factor. Was
The RH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
blue baby.
And it's, so they lost it. It was born, I think it was born dead.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, with this, Tom was born.
Yeah.
To, I think they had a... put blood into him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to make sure he didn't have that same problem.
I knew about Tom because when I, right after your brother said I wanted to write the book, I was giving a talk at the Rose Villa Retirement Center over in Milwaukee and said, great thing, Vic Atiyah has asked me to write a book. And lo and behold, one of Dolores' sorority sisters was there.
Huh.
And she vividly remembers Tom's birth because it was a new treatment for Tom, but they were all knitting booties and doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know they had that. I'd give him blood, Tom's blood transfusion.
Yeah.
When he was born. But the first person was and I think it was a boy.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a boy. The boy, he died.
He would have been 70 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because he's older than Tom.
When was Tom born?
Tom is 60, I think he's 67 now or something.
Okay, so he's born 1948-ish, 50-ish, sometime in there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now to things that became important to Vic. Where did he learn to love guns? I don't see gun collections in your house.
No. Well, I think it was a combination. He was fascinated in studying the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
In fact, Vic went back a couple times to Gettysburg and those areas there.
Yeah.
In fact, Vic had a fascination with muzzle-loading guns.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's a love of history, that part of history.
I think it was because they kind of go together, the Civil War and guns. I think that's where Vic first got started, getting into the gun.
Oh, okay.
And he became quite a collector. In fact, I don't know if I told you before or not, but he was a kid or two. We get as much correspondence on rugs as you got on guns. from collectors. You know. People wanted to
That's great.
Yeah.
Because it's he was a lifelong NRA member.
Yeah.
He had a gun collection, but he didn't hunt.
No.
And it's not like he used them for protection.
No.
It was he just loved collecting them.
And particularly older type of guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, he had a lot of little pistols too, and one of the banks, the same as the loans in Portland, one time was they used to have a display in their windows.
Mm-hmm.
And then they set up an exhibit of some of his old guns.
Uh-huh.
And then finally called him up one day and they said, Vicky, you've got to come and take your guns out of here. I said, the people are, with the space of the people looking at their guns, and so they had to remove the gun display.
When I was talking to your son, Ed, he was talking about driving for Vic in the 1978 election.
Bob.
Bob, yeah, you're Ed, right? Bob. But he talks about driving along, and then every once in a while, Vic would say, you know, let's go up over here. And they'd go, and there'd be some guy who had guns.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. No, Vic would always stop in antique shops and stuff.
Yeah.
And always looking for guns. And also, Vic collected clocks.
Oh, clocks, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
He collected old clocks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had quite a collection of clocks.
That's
and
great.
And watches.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loved to collect, right?
Yeah.
But Rich and I never did.
Huh. That's fascinating.
But Vic really did.
One of the funny stories from when he was governor, a couple of people had told me, occasionally random guys would show up at the office, and he had an open door policy.
Yeah.
He could walk in. And they were rug salesmen. And they'd come in and to his inner office, he'd invite them in, and they'd roll out rugs, and they'd talk about thread count and sourcing and all these kinds of things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The rest of the office is looking in there saying, huh, there's those rug guys again.
Oh, yeah, no, really, yeah. No, Vic loved people.
Uh-huh.
Loved that people. Really
yeah.
Loved people. He always, yeah, he always was that way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Uh-huh. Fantastic. So guns we've got. Fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pictures, great pictures in the book of you as, well, Vic as a kid with, you know, fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Was this something that all of you did? Did your dad do?
Well, we did a little.
Uh-huh.
No, my dad never fished.
Uh-huh.
Dad never fished. But Vic loved to fish.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, we used to, up the mountain, we used to go up there, we always used to start, we'd take hooks and put salmon berries on them before you had...
Oh, yeah.
Before you had the salmon eggs.
Yeah.
Do, and we used to fish with those in the Zigzag River up the mountain there. But Vic always had a love for fishing. And
uh-huh.
Particularly, he loved fly fishing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that becomes really important to him with the Deschutes River. And
oh, the Deschutes,
yeah.
He loved fish on the Deschutes River.
Yeah. He tells a funny story about drinking. When he was a young legislator, he had a dream with Lynn Newbury, one of the people he served with, to fish in Canada. So they went up to a lake in Canada,
uh-huh.
and the fish weren't biting. So
uh-huh.
Lynn Newbury brought out a fifth of whiskey. And Vic got so sick, he couldn't go out fishing for the next day and a half. And after that, he said he just never drank a lot ever again.
No. Well, he wasn't much of a drinker.
Yeah.
No. I have another funny story. We have a cousin... uncle's daughter
mm-hmm.
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He had a daughter named Esther,
mm-hmm.
and her husband name was John Martin. He was a top lawyer in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And I think he worked mostly with the dairy industry.
Yeah.
But anyway, he loved to fish.
Yeah.
He loved to fish. And one time, Vic to his fishing lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these exclusive fishing lodges back east.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very rustic deal. And so they got there that night. The next morning, John said, we'll go down and have breakfast, and then after we'll go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So Vic had his fishing clothes on, and he went down for breakfast, and they wouldn't serve him breakfast. He had to have a coat and tie.
At a fishing lodge. God bless the East Coast.
That was really funny. I've always kidded him about that, too. But he had to go back and put a coat and tie on. He
yeah.
didn't wear his lower part of his
yeah.
but he had to have a coat and tie on when he went for breakfast.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I used to live in the East Coast, and mm. people would talk about going to their camps for the summer.
Mm.
I've been to camps. These are giant houses.
Oh, yeah.
They're just huge houses. And it's like, oh, okay. You have a different definition of camp than we do.
Okay.
We would call this a house.
Yeah, yeah. No, really was.
That's
yeah.
great. It's
yeah.
wonderful. So, golf.
Yeah.
Where does it seems like all of you guys were
yeah.
involved with
well,
golf.
Well, Vic was kind of more of a natural athlete.
Uh-huh.
And he played golf. He was on the golf team in Washington High School.
Yeah. He said he was always number 5 and 4.
Yeah. He wasn't the top, but he was always right in there,
yeah,
too. And we used to go, I used to caddy for him periodically,
uh-huh,
when he played matches, too. But that was a boy in high school.
Yeah.
And
just kept doing that.
Yeah. And he played, he always loved golf, even to, just before he died. He still loved to play golf.
Yeah.
And he was the type, he wouldn't practice very much, but he was a pretty good golfer.
Uh-huh.
He was always better than Richard and I.
Yeah.
He used to annoy us. Because we used to work on it, but we could never.
Right.
But he was always, he would be a little better than we were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. One of the pieces that I've been working on, just because of who I've been talking to, I'm doing Your Brother in Sports.
Uh-huh.
And so it's got the Green Bay Packers in there, but
okay,
all those kinds of things. But the golf, you know, it's an important thing, because then when he travels to Asia, especially, there's a golf culture.
Uh-huh.
And while he was governor, often he wouldn't play golf because he didn't want to have pictures taken of the governor playing golf.
Yeah.
But when he became a consultant, he played golf all the time.
Oh, yeah. I got a kick one time. He used to play golf with a lot of Japanese.
Yeah.
And he was at one of their clubs back, I don't know, was in Japan somewhere too, and they were in a pro shop. And so they finished their golf, and then they had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Big Thick saw something down in the pro shop that he wanted to get, but he didn't want to tell the other guys about it, because he said they know that they wouldn't let him buy it. They would give it to him. But he didn't want that.
Yeah.
So afterwards, after lunch, he went back down the golf shop to get it, and one of those guys came in,
mm-hmm,
and he wouldn't let Vic buy it. So, but Vic went down. I thought they all laughed. But the fellow wouldn't let him buy it. But he wanted to buy it himself.
Cultures and golf. What are we going to do? So this is a little bit out of order, but
okay,
I found a really great academic article. So it's written by a professor who studies sociology about Ammar, the village back in Syria.
Ammar.
And it turns out, from this guy's studying, your uncle Aziz was really the first person to leave the village.
Yeah.
But then a whole bunch of people left.
Yeah.
You know, your father was kind of the second person, but that kind of broke the dam.
Yeah.
So a lot of people end up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But it says that there were, at one point, 20 families from Ammar in the Portland area.
Hmm.
Did you guys ever run into them? Or
In the Portland area?
In the Portland area.
Well, they might. We never had really a real close relationship,
mm-hmm,
with the Syrian community in Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, because most of them lived out Foster Road and,
uh-huh,
and in southeast Portland, and we lived on the west side. And Dad was, Mother and Dad would visit with them periodically, but we never really had real close relationship.
Right.
And Dad belonged to the Syrian American Lebanese Club.
Yeah.
So, but he was never really too active in it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. That's it was just amazing to read, and in this article, it's like, oh, there's your uncle.
Well, there
he's listed right there.
Because there's a lot. In fact, a lot of people now that work at the plant, particularly the repair women, they're from Ammar.
Oh yeah.
From Ammar, and also from other areas.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's amazing how that has worked out.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting, in this article, people came to Pennsylvania. Portland is a smaller area, but Pennsylvania is a big chunk.
Yeah.
A lot of them went to Argentina.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there's a big bunch of Ammar people there from Argentina.
Argentina, yeah.
Yeah.
And, let's see, I kind of forgot what we were talking about. The people from Ammar that were going to different areas to,
mm-hmm,
to too, but also in Amman they had their two villages.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Muslim village and a Christian village.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And mother, but that dad family was in the Christian village.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
They were separate.
Yeah.
Even in those days, they were separate.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah. Because from what the research I've been able to do on Amar itself, Amar seems to be a village that was formed basically to be the supply and workforce for the crusaders.
Okay.
Up on the mountain. Uh-huh. And so that's earliest Amar.
Yeah.
And the crusade, I mean, that's just a ruin now.
Uh-huh.
But it seems, from what I've been able to find, there's always been a Christian part from the very beginning there, just because of the crusaders up the hill.
Uh-huh.
So
I don't know what the Muslim village was called, but Amar was a Syrian.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that I can go and I can just go and look at.
With a Christian village.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating stuff. I wish I could go, but you know, it's kind of not a good place to go right now.
No, it sure isn't. It's not very safe.
Yeah.
In fact, one woman at the cleaning plant, most of her family is from Homs, where they have a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Too. And now she's got all her brothers finally came out.
Oh, they got out.
But it's kind of interesting. All of them are here, and they're all working. They got jobs.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Do you know in Amar was there a rug industry there?
No.
Just Aziz just figured this out, or?
I don't know. Well, Uncle Aziz got involved with linen first.
Okay.
He was involved with linen,
mm-hmm.
and then later he started to sell a few rugs for the peddlers that come around.
Yeah.
But he started in linens.
Okay. Because he just seems like such a remarkable person.
Oh, yeah.
In just terms of figuring out business opportunities, how to make it work, innovations.
Yeah. And after there for a while, this came up before too, but then they did determine there was opportunities on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people from the East Coast were migrating to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so they heard about this area, so Uncle Aziz came out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he liked the area, and so he had, after he was here, I guess less than a year, I don't know how long, but the dad had dad stayed back, the dad came and joined him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm going through the Oregonian and just counting the Atiyah ads.
Uh-huh.
And the first ones are 1903-ish, 1904-ish.
Oh, yeah.
But just, you know, how many there are.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because in 1944, there aren't any.
No.
The war's on.
That's right.
1945, all of a sudden, they begin to appear again. That's also when Vic steps into the company, too. Uh-huh. So the ads are very different.
Yeah.
You know, Vic had his artistic eye and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if there are records at the company or not. But I'd love to see if Vic said, you know, we need to have different ads. but it's just fascinating. So during the war, no ads.
No.
And so it'll be interesting to count.
Because they couldn't get rugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, Uncle in New York, he had a couple of shipments. They were coming in New York from Persia or Iran, mm-hmm. and the ships got sunk.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they never got
so they just, no supply.
No, they didn't have the supplies.
Yeah.
But by those days, most of them were coming from Iran.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Which had also chosen the wrong side in World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were running the company, were there issues with international trade?
No.
Or did you guys, I'm thinking because currencies go up and down.
Yeah.
During the time you're running the company,
yeah.
you know, the dollar is strong. Yeah. Then in the late 60s, the dollar changes to a floating currency.
Yeah.
You know, all did that ever have a big impact on the company?
No, it never did on us because our uncle in New York and his sons
mm-hmm.
ran the import business.
Okay, so that was their issue.
And that was their issue. And,
okay.
And we always bought from the importers.
Okay.
So we never got involved
okay.
with direct shipments from
right.
Persia or Iran.
Right.
So we've always bought from importers.
Yeah. Did you buy from other importers besides?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We bought from others besides. But they had their own brand, you know.
Yeah.
Like Kerman Deluxe.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, our main rug there too. But we had rugs from, because we had rugs from all different parts of that area.
Right.
From semi antiques to modern.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Too. So we had a very diversified stock.
Yeah.
They weren't just one type of Oriental rug.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. That makes things a lot more clear for me. A rug story. In 1974, Vic loses to Bob Straub.
Yeah.
There's a newspaper article that talks about a Straub person and an Atiya person made a bet. Huh. And the bet was $50 versus an Atiya Brothers rug. And Vic lost the election.
Uh-huh.
And so the guy says that he came and talked to you about a $50 rug. You said, we don't have $50 rugs. But you went up somewhere and you got a small piece. Do you remember that at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. It's one of those funny newspaper articles that's just kind of over here.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I could have been, but I.
Yeah, it doesn't stick in your mind.
We usually get a lot of time of alternate types of requests. In fact, one time we had a request, a guy came in, and he wanted a runner.
Yeah.
It had to be a foot or a foot and a half wide, and about 6 or 8 feet long.
Uh huh.
And he wanted for his boat, for a row boat or something.
Right.
So he wanted to make him a rug. We never did, of course.
Yeah. Tell him he can buy a rug and do that himself.
Yeah.
Vic and Dolores' wedding date.
Uh-huh.
I have the Oregonian story of their wedding.
Okay.
Top of the page. The big picture is of her. This is a big thing. It says their wedding, though, was on the 1st of July, 1944. And everything says the 5th of July.
The 5th.
Okay, so that's just an error in the...
No, they were wedding anniversary of the 5th of July.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But it's got you as the best man and Richard's an usher.
No, Richard was the best man.
Oh, is it the other way around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard was the best man.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. And then one last thing, you mentioned it when I was here before, but I wasn't, you know, this is as you get into these things. Do you have Donna Campbell's contact information?
Yeah, I can get you.
Yeah, I would love to talk to her.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
She doesn't live very far from here.
Oh, good.
She lived in the courtyard right by Fred Meyer.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
no, I'll be glad to give that to you.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Because she's of the Tom, Jim, Vic.
Yeah.
She's the only one that's really left to talk.
Well, Doris is.
Yeah.
Is got dementia.
Yeah, yeah. So she's.
Goes with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. How is she doing now?
Well, they moved her. She was at the Hearthstone.
Yeah.
They finally moved her to a place by St. Vincent's Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to her son a while back, and she's doing real well. She likes it there very
good.
Much. So
good.
She's doing well. And we go visit Dolores about every week or so.
Wonderful.
Karen and I. And she's real close by here. She's off of Shoals Ferry on Dosh Road.
Uh-huh.
Real close. By. And, but she's getting more forgettable. But it's amazing how her long-term memory is still good.
Yeah.
But her short-term memory, she's very bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, but she seems to be contented there.
That's good. Yeah, knowing that, I think I might send a note to Tom, because if Dolores has long-term memories, it'd be wonderful to have her.
Well, you might pass that through Tom.
Yeah, I'll talk to Tom. It's with this book and the way people are. I'm talking to lots of daughters and sons about parents.
Uh-huh.
You know, is this doable or not?
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
so.
But they would. Because, like I said, we'll talk about things, but I don't know how far back Dolores can go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With her memory.
Yeah, exactly.
But she can remember. She can remember. Wrong. In fact, she can't remember who visited her yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Exactly. And how is your nephew George?
Well, he's making progress.
Uh-huh.
They rented a house in North Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're doing a therapy at the Emanuel Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And he's still there, and now his wife has been able to take him periodically home.
Uh-huh.
They live in Lyons, Oregon.
Yeah.
And in fact, they were there a couple of weeks ago. I haven't talked to him since, but they were there a couple of weeks ago. And but it's still going to be a long process.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it will ever be quite the same.
Yeah.
But they do. They're still getting a lot of therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because see, for the book, he's crucial because he was so involved with Hopewell Creek.
That's right.
Which I just love that story because it's Vic's in-laws.
Oh yeah.
And then his nephew.
Yeah.
It all mixes together.
Well,
so.
George was the one that got Hatfield.
Yeah.
To make it a national park.
Yeah.
He really worked hard on that, George.
Yeah.
To develop that.
Yeah.
And he went back to Washington, D.C. so much to just do it for them. That's when Hatfield, just before he retired, they got it set as a national preserve.
Of the wilderness preserved area.
Wilderness preserved area.
Yeah.
But he was more involved with that than Tom was.
Oh yeah.
Because Dolores, you know, they lived for quite a while up there at the mine.
Mm-hmm.
For their family.
Mm-hmm.
Too, where her father had, because they had to do so much to keep the mine. They had to do so much work up
right.
there to keep it at the working mine.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. My understanding was they had a lot of claims.
Yeah.
And so you have to work all of them X amount a year.
Yeah.
I have a friend who disappears for 2 weeks every summer because he goes back to wherever his claim is,
mm-hmm.
and he works the claim.
Oh, yeah.
So that he can still, you know, continue to have it.
It's amazing that how those things, those laws work. And
It
really is.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any more?
No, that's it. This is good stuff.
Well, I'll get you Dolores. I mean, Donna's phone number and address.
That'd be great.
And then also, I think Karen got her list, Chris's list in the deal, but I'm trying to get the name of the other daughter, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's the one in Georgia, she's the oldest. And I'll get that. Let me go get that for you.
Okay, fantastic.